starting it out as a hobby and then progressing it into a business, I think like it can be so hard sometimes that you can just kind of go like, right, I'm done. I just want to get on with the job that I'm good at. Like the reaction from the judges is amazing because they're like, what? Oh my God, you've done all of this in a week. You kind of get into that belief that you're really good at what you do, but you can't really kind of learn anything else. That was the best. I love it. It's just so good. What I need to do, how I'm going to get it done, is it going to not look shit?
All right, welcome back to the She Who Dares Wins podcast. And my guest today is Sammy. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And you're just up the way, which is amazing for everyone listening. Sammy's got a workshop literally, 50 metres from here?
Yeah, really not that far.
Yeah. So we're going to kick off with the first question, which is, She Who Dares Wins. What do those kind of words mean to you and when have you dared and won?
Okay. I think it's all about kind of risks, isn't it? And kind of like challenging yourself to go out and do something that you're passionate about. And I think kind of working on that kind of like risk kind of factor. I mean, obviously kind of all of the risks that you take, you kind of have to think about them. I'm like, is that going to be worth it? Is it not? But definitely the best kind of risk I've ever taken is stepping away from full-time employment and going and following my dream and starting my business, which has now kind of evolved into kind of two separate businesses, really. So that over the last kind of 5 years or so has been an interesting kind of roller coaster journey, but I'm so glad I took the risk to kind of go out there and do it because I wouldn't be where I am now without kind of taking that risk.
So what was the job before?
So I was working as a workshop instructor in schools, colleges and universities. And so at the time that I decided to start my business, I was working at a college as a workshop instructor. And then kind of started my business and kind of started the kind of ball rolling on that and then took steps away from full-time to part-time. And then eventually, after lockdown, I decided to go full-time into my business.
Amazing. Which is, I'm just going to check my recording. I had one of those fears. Of, it's not on. It's on. So your business.
Yes.
I've been in your studio and it's amazing because there's so many cool tools. But just tell us what it is and why you love it.
Okay, so my business is Just Love It Design. My name is Sammy Lovett. And when I was at university, so I graduated in 2012 doing product and furniture design. And in my third year, I took on some business modules. And I always knew I was going to have a business, but I just wasn't quite sure what it was going to do. But I always knew it was going to be Just Love It Design. And I kind of had that in my brain. And then in 2018, I went and kind of started out doing Just Love It Design. So it's using my skill set as a product designer and using my woodworking skills, combining that with my laser cutting skills and kind of 3D fabrication to create bespoke products for either businesses or individuals. I do a lot more kind of business work now. I started off doing kind of individual personalized products, but now much more kind of working with businesses. And it's all on the vibe of sustainability, something I'm really passionate about, is taking somebody else's wastage and turning it into something beautiful and seeing what we can do with those materials, whether it be pallet wood, whether it be hardwood that people have kind of don't need anymore, I think it's scrap, or lots of different materials, really. But that's kind of the core ethos is sustainability, because that's really important and kind of creating that nice kind of circular economy.
And let's go back to the jump that you did, because I think there's so many women out there that, you know, are in a job and they want to start a business. Like it's like I've been there too. It's hard. It's a hard transition. Like how was it for you? Was it plain sailing or were there ups and downs? Like what were the biggest challenges for you when you decided, right, this is it. I'm going to come away from full-time employment and start up.
Yeah. Okay. So challenges, definitely starting it out as a hobby and then progressing it into a business was quite, so it's kind of safer than taking the whole kind of jump to kind of go into full time. But definitely kind of working out things, because you can know your passion, but then when it comes to doing a business, then you're like, oh my God, I've got to do my numbers and my books. I've got to do my marketing. I've got to go out and network and I've got to kind of do all of these things. And I've learned so much over the last 5 years that I never thought I'd have to do. So that's the challenge, is actually how much CPD and personal development you have to do to run a business, to know every single part of your business to make sure it kind of runs smoothly, I guess. That's been a challenge, but a really good one, a good challenge, because I feel like I've learned so much over the last 5 years. I never thought I would kind of learn.
You become a master of, like I was thinking about this the other day as well. If you start on your own without a partner, you become a master of so many things by default. Like, you have to be good at website design. I mean, because you just don't have the funds or the sources to do everything. So actually, when you look at the skill set, it's such a steep learning curve, but it's so broad. And I think that's really cool. And I mean, I'm waiting for the days where it's like I can palm off the stuff that A, I'm really bad at, or B, I hate doing admin and accounts. Like, come on, we're creative people. We don't want to do accounts, but...
Exactly. And like social media, like I love it when I kind of remember that I should be doing it. But then sometimes I'm like, oh my God, you have that kind of fear all the time of like, have I put enough on? Am I doing enough? Am I doing stories? Am I getting enough exposure? And then sometimes it can be frustrating because you're like, I just want to get on with the job that I'm good at. when you kind of look at your week and like how much of your time you're spending doing the thing that you are really good at, and all those different things that you have to balance to kind of make all of that happen, to make sure that you're making enough money and making sure that everything is kind of going well, so that eventually you can kind of pay experts to kind of do these things for you.
Yeah, come of the day.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah, one day. Just have a team that helps out so much. So I've been in your studio and there's like funky tools, power tools. And I think I said to you that even though I've been in construction, I don't often put my hands on power tools for a little bit of fear of, like, you know, it's scary. I've seen a lot of things on site, a lot of accidents. And actually, I think a lot of other people can relate to that. They're like, the power tools at home, but they barely use them. Where did that come from for you? Was it a really early age that you got your hands on some tools and started like building and making things?
Yeah, love it. Always loved it. Resistant materials was my favourite subject at school. And then I pursued that onto product design in A-level and then to university, and then always just wanting to learn more and like how to use different things. And then once I finished uni and I had a job, then it's really sad, but like every time I had a spare bit of cash, I'd like go to Screwfix or B&Q and like, what am I going to buy next? What am I going to learn? And I think YouTube's been really good for kind of learning, since kind of not being in full-time education, for kind of learning how to use different power tools. But then also going back and working in education has been really good for like personal development. And so I think, yeah, just building upon your kind of skill set. And so now, for the past, since kind of lockdown, I've been running DIY workshops to show people to get over the fear of using power tools. Mm-hmm. And touch wood, nobody's had an accident.
Yes, yes.
No fingers have been lost. Nobody's hurt themselves. Maybe the odd splinter.
Right, and we can get away with that.
Which we can deal with. So all of the first aid training that I do, and I am on top of, I've not had to use, which is great, but also, like, sometimes, not in my workshop, but sometimes I'm like, I really wish I could kind of use my skills.
Sew a finger back on. Well, there's time yet. I'll be coming up soon, so.
I assure you, nobody's going to lose their fingers. But it's good, because I'm so used to using these power tools now that I am quite confident using them and like know how to use them safely. And it's really nice to be able to show other people how to use these tools. And you see the transformation throughout kind of the day that people come and do a DIY workshop with me. They'll start off and being a little bit like, well, I want to learn this, this and this, and they'll be a bit nervous. And so we use my chop saw first. We get that out of the way because it's a big scary, because it's big and loud and you're like, oh my God, it's got a blade and it's going round. Ah! So we get that out of the way. And actually by the end of the day, people are setting it up by themselves and they are like chopping away. They've got different angles happening, going on, and they're just absolutely like loving it. And it's just seeing that transformation in people is just brilliant and I love it.
It's the confidence thing, isn't it? Again, it's something that's unknown. And when you go and buy something and you take it out of the box, it's a little bit daunting of like, oh, what am I going to do? And then even like simple DIY in the house, I'm like, I'm just going to hit whatever wire there is or whatever. And I think it's a dying skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I think, you know, I get my dad or my father-in-law around to pretty much do most things. And like, I did say to my husband the other day, I was like, the skill set doesn't really come down the family tree as such, because we're always off doing other things. And there's that, we'll just pay someone to do it. But actually, working with your hands is... so satisfying.
Oh, it's really good for your mental health and well-being. And it's really kind of quite cathartic as well. And like having, I think even anybody's, that I will do this kind of when I start a project, is that I have an end goal of what I want to do. But you always have that like, oh, how do I start? And it's always that blank canvas thing that I'm sure lots of people kind of go through. But then as soon as you start and you're going to get in that flow and that creative flow of what you're doing and actually like spending time kind of using your brain a little bit, because it's like physical problem solving what you're doing.
Yeah.
And like working out, oh, what's going to go there? What joint am I going to use? What power tool am I going to use? Oh, I could do this with that. Oh, that looks really good. And actually then you get to the point when you finished it and you're like, oh my God, that is great. I love that. That's amazing. So it's always that really good feel-good factor. If you're making something for yourself or for somebody else, it's really good for you. Yeah, I can't kind of...
So you do, yeah, you, well, yeah, the enthusiasm is shown for sure. You do a lot of work with kids.
Yeah.
And again, I'm guessing, I think I'm showing my age here, but it used to be called DT at school.
Yeah.
And now, like, those kind of things are just not, for whatever reason, are just not existing in schools, which is like, oh my God, what, you know, it's not really helping anyone that wants to come in, be in the trades, kind of get their hands on at a young age and find that passion. But what was really interesting when you showed me around the workshop was the things that you build with kids. I was blown away. I was literally blown away by, I was, because in fact, like over Christmas, I was thinking, I was like, that is, yeah, kids have an ability to do amazing things and it's just, we don't necessarily give them the opportunity to do so, but you are doing that. Yeah. What's that taught you?
To be fair, doing what I do with the kids and our kind of creative enterprise kind of courses that we do, you know what, like kids are so creative and they have all these amazing ideas, and you can kind of see when we have adults come in or like business owners come in to judge kind of what they've done in the week, and it's the reaction from the judges is amazing, because they're like, what? Oh my God, you've done all of this in a week. And I think with kids are so creative and they don't have those kind of boundaries that we have as adults, because I think as we kind of grow up, we kind of get into our own comfort zones and then we're like, oh, we can't do that, or I can't learn DIY, I can't do that, or that's not for me, and kind of like you kind of get into that belief that you're really good at what you do, but you can't really kind of learn anything else, or you're kind of scared of learning more, or you don't upset people by maybe kind of creating something. Whereas the kids are like, I'm going to make a worry rocket, and it's going to be for 5-year-olds who are going to school for the first time, who can't kind of deal with kind of bullying or separation anxiety and things like that. And then they're just like, you're like, yeah, these ideas are brilliant. So working with kids to harness those ideas and turn them into real products has just been so much fun. And every time we run one of these workshops, I walk away on the Friday just been like, that was the best. I love it. It's just so good.
It is. Yeah, it's cool. And tell me a little bit about the adults that you get in, because you had an interesting perspective on that, on kind of when they're a little bit, I don't know what to do. Like, it's the polar opposite.
Yes. Yeah, it is. So they kind of like, they come along because they want to learn skills. They want to make something. They kind of have like an end goal, kind of what they want to achieve by the end of the day, which is always quite nice to kind of ask them beforehand, like, what do you expect? What do you want to do? And then everybody is always a little bit nervous and like, oh, I can't use a drill, or oh, I don't know, like, I want to do this in my house, but I'm not quite sure how to get there. And yeah, so everybody is kind of always a little bit kind of nervous, I guess, for the first time. But I suppose if you're going into somewhere new and you're doing something for the first time, you're bound to be kind of a little bit kind of nervous. But yeah, by the time people have finished, it's the empowerment in the room is so good. And the feedback that we get is really, really nice as well. And just to see like them, like, I've made this thing and I'm going to take it away and I'm going to show this, or I'm going to give this to somebody. I'm so proud of what I've made. I'm going to give it to somebody. And it's just really nice.
It's like I say, it's something that I think more people need to like sort out. Like, especially me, like, I'm the same. Been in an industry where I was physically, I get not physically building things, but there is that after you've built something, oh, I've done that. And in so many jobs that people are in, they don't necessarily get that. And it's good to have that outside kind of experience. So for you then, like, with these, you're on a creative journey with getting more people into the workshop and using sustainable materials. How's that growing for the business, and where do you kind of like see it in the future?
Okay.
It's a big question. It's a big like, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Where do I see myself in 5 years' time? I think definitely kind of with the workshops kind of side of it, I started doing the creative enterprise workshop, and that was kind of an idea that I had. And then when I was kind of starting my business, I had this idea in mind of like, this is where I kind of want to go with this. And it only kind of took until kind of after lockdown where it's kind of really, really kind of hit off, which is really good. So I think with that, that's definitely kind of what I'm going to pursue, because actually that's kind of created, it's manifesting into its own thing that I never thought it was going to be. And actually realizing that I love working with young people, and actually realizing that it's capturing people at that young age to encourage them to go into creativity and to encourage them to kind of start their own businesses. And I think that's, I feel kind of like really passionate towards that. And whether that's children in mainstream schooling, I've worked a lot with SEND students as well, and the results are incredible, and the confidence change with those young people. So I kind of ignited like a passion inside me that I think my mission now is to help young people to get hands-on and get creative, but also try to kind of show them that you can go and do your own thing. You don't necessarily have to kind of follow the academic route necessarily. If you don't fit into that route, you can go and do something either employed creatively through a creative business, or go and do your own thing. Kind of open up that kind of those options for young people. And I think I'll always kind of teach adults as well, because it's different teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Which do you prefer?
Oh, hard question. I think working with the kids. Yeah, because it's really fun, because when you get to know them and you can really vibe with them, and like you just have so much fun with them, because we kind of give them that freedom, like talking to kids like they're adults as well in kind of a live working environment. I think they get much more out of it as well. And so, yeah, definitely working with the young people is just, yeah, it's amazing. I didn't think that this would ever be like the direction my business has gone. It's like, I'm going to do this. And then like, oh, this will be like a little side thing that we can do during the school holidays. And now it's kind of, that's manifested into something and gone in a different direction. But it's an amazing journey that I'm on at the moment, and I'm really excited about where that's going to go, and like how we can kind of grow that to help more young people. Yorkshire, maybe the UK one day.
Yeah, nice. And I had a podcast guest on here, Kelsey, who touched on the fact that with her career in cycling, that she just started on a business, but then started in work and then didn't really have a set plan, and then when things came up, you know, kind of just went with the flow. And it is nice, and I think it's important to realize that, like you've just said, you know, you didn't see that at the start, and now it's something that has come that is like an area that you absolutely love. In my head I've just got kids and tools, like for me that would give me massive anxiety, but they're probably safer. I don't think we give our kids enough credit nowadays. I think, you know, companies like countries like Sweden, they just give them knives, and like the knives are sharp, you know, you'll deal with that. And I suppose it's the same with anything, isn't it? As long as they're taught properly, the dangers aren't there. The dangers are there, sorry, but they can be overcome, and it's just a case of educating kids.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think like Scandinavia education is just incredible. Yeah. It's so good. I lived in Finland for a little bit whilst we were at university, and 3 months we were in kind of Finnish education, and it was just like amazing. Wow. So good. And also like learning our families, like how they're educated. So yeah, I find it absolutely fascinating. But going back to kind of what we do with kids, so just due to our kind of insurance that we have, we don't have kids using power tools. They kind of have to be over 18 to kind of use power tools. So we kind of are more kind of using our laser cutters and 3D kind of fabrication. Oh, that's cool. So yeah. It's much safer. Right. So parents who are sending their kids up for this, they're not going to be like running around with that angle grinder.
Damn it. I was hoping you were like running around going, no.
Stop. But maybe one day, like if it kind of grows a little bit bigger and we can kind of do more kind of hands-on building, then that would be quite cool as well. So at the moment it's very much kind of like product design, laser cut it, play around with it, build it, and kind of creating those kind of like 3D physical products that also ignite kind of a passion in them that relate to a social issue, that trying to help somebody as well, and all working on those kind of things, and like how do you sell it and how are you going to market it and what's your business plan. But maybe one day in the future we could be teaching kids how to make bird boxes. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you the way you describe it is a little bit like having a kids do like Dragon's Den. Like you get them in, they design, they produce, and then you get business owners in to it's such a cool experience.
Like, thank you. Yeah. You should come and be a judge for us.
Oh yeah. I'd just be like, I love it. I do. I like saw some of the stuff you did. I was like, that is so cool. Amazing. When you were a kid then, so what was the first experience that can you remember where you were like, ooh?
I think definitely doing resistant materials in year 7 at school, and we just had an amazing teacher. You know, those people that just really want you to get into their subject. Yeah. And I've just always loved like making things and learning different techniques and making all of those things, and then kind of progressing that up to GCSE level, and then kind of following that forward and being like, that is my passion. Sounds really sad. I would even like at lunchtime go down to DT and be like, I want to make something. Or like my friends and I would stay after school and make stuff on a Friday afternoon.
That's cool. Because I think there's going to be parents out there that have got kids, boys and girls, who they perhaps think, oh, I reckon that they'd really enjoy this. And you are giving the ability for people to, you know, tap into that. It's not something that, you know, like I've got two boys, it's not something that I would think, oh, like, where would I go for that? So I guess the thing for you is just promoting what you do and getting the word out there is quite, it's always going to be a hard thing, isn't it, for businesses. But how have you found that? Have you found that quite an interesting journey, and it's kind of like word of mouth or?
I think so far, so we've just been really lucky that we've managed to kind of get support from a couple of local businesses who've kind of helped us kind of get out there with this as well, and kind of support through kind of sponsorship, working with local schools and building on relationships I already have kind of from working in schools and colleges. So that's been quite good. So the kind of plan this year is kind of work on building relationships with those schools, but then you've also got to be on LinkedIn, you've got to be on Twitter, Instagram, and you've got to kind of be in the right places for people to kind of find you. But I think our kind of plan going forward is working with schools and going into schools to kind of run these workshops, hopefully, is the kind of plan going forward, to kind of grow that a little bit more, and then also training staff I have to kind of go out and deliver the courses as well, which is really cool.
That's another string to the bow. Yeah. And what we were just talking briefly before we came on the podcast about how important it is to have days where you just like make shit for fun, like which you do, which is quite. And I think a lot of business owners actually forget to do that because they're like, oh, it becomes a job, and that's when you kind of lose the passion. Yeah. So for you, like a day in the workshop where you turn up and you're just like, what's that process like?
Oh, it's fun. It is fun.
Is it planning or is it just like?
I'll have an idea of kind of what I'm going to create. So it's always really good going in, doing projects and creating them for other people. That's always, you still get that kind of feel good factor, which is quite nice.
So you do commission work as well?
Commission work, right, yeah. Okay. And so it's quite nice kind of working to those briefs, because it's a bit easier, because you're like, if you've got a question, you can just take it to the client and say, what would you prefer, this or this? And that's quite nice to kind of have that contact with your client to make sure that what you're creating is what they have in mind, which is really good. And that's what I really like about working, kind of doing commission work. However, doing stuff for myself, now that is good and I really enjoy it. So I'll have like, right, I'm going to kind of make this, and I'll have an idea in my head and I might have sketched it out. But actually, most of the time I'll just be like, right, let's just get started and see where we go from here. And it's also really good because you kind of get that, those light bulb moments, you get that kind of like fire in your belly kind of moments of like, ooh, that looks really good. Oh, I'm just going to do that. Oh, what if I get the router out and just kind of trim this edge a little bit and ooh, put that little bit on there and have a bit of fun with it. And it's also, if you're making something for yourself for your home, it's quite nice because you kind of have like an idea of like what you kind of, the style of what it's going to be, what it's going to look like, where it needs to fit in as well. And then you're like, right, cool, I made that. That's really fun.
Howdy folks, sorry to interrupt this amazing podcast, but I just have a short message from this week's awesome podcast sponsors, GT85. The GT85 spray is the best kept secret for cleaning, lubing and protecting. It's endorsed and used by cyclists, DIYers, tradespeople and mechanics. Tried and tested since 85, GT85 is a proven formula with multiple uses. It's an ideal tool for every garage, workshop and toolbox. It's a trusted brand both at home and at work, and it gets the job done. With its professional strength and water displacing properties, you can expect long-lasting lubrication and protective shine that leaves a great overall finish. GT85 is recommended for lubing, cleaning and maintaining all types of bicycles, motorcycles, engines, car parts, tools and heavy duty machinery. Protecting surfaces against dirt and rust, driving out moisture from electrical systems, loosening stuck parts and ultimately bringing the shine back to metal, chrome and plastic surfaces. I want to say a massive thanks to GT85 for sponsoring this podcast. Let's get back to it.
Well, as you see so many now on, and I always get so impressed, I'm like, how have they done that? I don't know whether it's just because they show up on my feed, a lot of women that will do DIY projects at home, like paneling or, you know, some like literally, in fact, I had this idea the other week, and I was like, it's terrible, rip out their kitchen and just be like, I can install a kitchen or I can build a kitchen from scratch. I think it's cool that social media's played a role in that, in exposing a little bit. And like you said, YouTube now, you can pretty much learn anything from YouTube. Like, it's got, well, there's just, yeah, there's so many inspiring stuff as well, but then just learning basic things. Do you think that's kind of like the future of, I guess, kids learning coming up?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I already, you kind of touched on the fact that we don't know lots of skills, whereas our parents did. Like, if I needed to wallpaper a wall in my house, I'd call my mum because she knows how to do it. Or, like, our parents, kind of from a generation, that they learned from their parents and they were very much hands-on. Whereas now we live in that kind of, like, gig economy where we're like, we'll just pay somebody else to do it because they've got the skill set. It's going to be much easier for me to kind of work out how to, what I need to buy, what I need to do, how I'm going to get it done. Is it going to not look shit?
Yeah, like, that's the biggest thing, the biggest fear. Is it going to look shit?
Yeah. And so I think it's going to be interesting watching kind of the next generation come through. If education and all of those vocational skills aren't in the syllabus of education, are they going to want to do stuff like this? Social media is great. TikTok, Instagram, people doing reels and kind of showing people how to do stuff. Is that powerful enough to show young people that they have the confidence to go and do these practical things?
Right, because the first time you try something, it's like these IKEA hacks. Like, I think I tried one a couple of years ago. The first time you try something, it's going to be, it possibly is, most likely it's going to be shit. Yeah, and then it's like, well, it didn't turn out like Instagram, so fuck it. I can't do that. And that's not the reality, is it? It's like the time put in. It don't matter if your first project shit. Like, you've done it.
You've done it. And it's building that resilience and that confidence to like, right, okay, that didn't work. What can I do again? And I think that's kind of a big kind of lesson for life is probably not everything that you do is going to work out first time. Mm. And you've got to fail to learn to then go back and use that experience to go and do something different or better next time. And I think practical skills definitely kind of help with that mentally and physically. And if people aren't doing enough practical skills at a young age, are they going to build up that kind of resilience? Or are they just going to be like, meh, that didn't work. I'll go and do something that's easy.
Yeah. And actually working with your hands is, like, for me, is quite hard. It's like, it's one of those things where it's a skill set that has, like, you have to be, excuse the pun, hands-on, like, doing it all the time. Yeah. And it is lost, like, It is. It's frustrating, and like even I'm frustrated at our level, like at my age, that I've not done as much as I think my parents would have done, learned from their parents. A bit different to me because I've been in construction, so I've had to use like tools at certain points. But I think I was listening to Casey Neistat on a podcast, and he was saying that he told his eldest son, if you use your hands, like if you learn to make things or fix things, then you'll never be out of a job. And it's true. There's such a deficit of, like, especially in the trade, there's not plumbers coming through. There's not, you know, bricklayer. And they're not because they're choosing other jobs, or they're not really been exposed to using hand tools and power tools and just having a go at stuff.
And I think that's such a shame, isn't it? Like, maybe it's the education kind of system. Maybe it's the fact that you can go and be a gamer, an influencer. You can go and do these fun jobs that might not be jobs in 10 years. Who knows? But learning a trade and learning something, like you're right, with your hands, even if it's a musical instrument, if it's learning, you know, like you say, kind of bricklaying or plumbing, because we're always going to need people to kind of do those things, I think. Depends how high we get on the AI level.
That's quite, 3D printers. I'm amazed at
the stuff they can make. It's so cool.
But again, it's kind of scary, isn't it? In that you press a button and then that kind of...
Ta-da,
yeah, that done. Is... Yeah.
Yeah. Mad. But yeah, it's interesting. I think that definitely education should have more practical skills in there. Even cooking. And like doing your finances and things. Learning what credit is and learning like how to save and how to actually set yourself up for when you need to buy a house, because that seems like one of the hardest things to do. And like actually all these life skills that people should be learning, not just concentrating on like English, maths and science and these important subjects, because not everybody's going to fit into the same mold, and somebody might find passion bricklaying and they might not know it. And like we need to expose young people to all of these different skills that they can do, because then we're going to end up with an empowered generation rather than a bit of a flat kind of feeling of like, why I didn't get my GCSEs or A-levels because I'm not that academic.
Yeah.
And actually, what are you going to do with a percentage of the population who finish school, who don't think they can do anything, but they could have gone and done an apprenticeship. They could have gone and learnt a practical skill or a trade and actually been a lot more successful kind of in their own way.
Oh yeah, and the opportunities, like I've met tons of tradesmen that are like having an awesome time, have very good lifestyle. I think there was always this old thing of like, oh, you know, if you end up in the trades, then, you know, you're at the bottom of the pile. And I'm like, no. And you have to know maths and you have to know, you know, all the things that come with it, but not to an extent of you're sat in a classroom learning. And that will be, you know, how it is. It's practical. It's learning on the job.
Yeah. And it's applied kind of maths. And it's just really interesting how you kind of have to work things out. Like, I worked at a carpentry and joinery department in a college, and the amount of maths that you have to do to make sure everything's to the millimetre is amazing. And like, when I was working there, I was like, you know what? I wish that I had been given that opportunity when I was thinking about what I want to do for my career. If the people had said, well, you can go into university, you can go and do this, or you can go and do carpentry and joinery and follow the practical passion that you have. And it's interesting that I think I probably would have quite thrived out of that kind of environment and kind of doing more like a trade. I don't know, it's one of those things, isn't it? It's like you kind of have those moments in life where you're like, you've gone in one direction, but you're basically like the alternate universe. Like, what would have happened if you'd kind of done something else? But you've worked in kind of construction and kind of trade. Like, how did you kind of feel that kind of environment for you as a female as well?
Well, for me, it was, I think, like I fell into it literally. And looking back now, I wouldn't have survived. I think I'd have really struggled if I'd have gone and got a job behind a desk. Construction for me, like, I think I'm a bit of a social being. So it meant that I was out chatting to people, but then also learning. Like, you're constantly learning with engineering because you can build one thing and then you go and build the same thing somewhere else and it's completely different.
Yeah.
And it's the thing with, I remember sat down and I had to do, for surveying, I had to do bearings.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I was like, shit, should have listened at school when they said about trigonometry. I was like, at the time, I was like, who the hell's going to use trigonometry? Like, it's never. And you think, same with angles, you know, when you're working with Word and you're building stuff, it's all about.
You need to think of math.
Yeah.
Applied math, but it's applied math in a fun way.
It is. That's the difference.
It's different because you're not kind of sat listening to me going, like you say, like, is this relevant? Like, am I ever going to use algebra, trigonometry, all of this? Mm-hmm. But actually, when you're building something, you actually really understand, like, oh no, that needs to be bang on to make sure the end product doesn't look shit, and or it works in the space that it's meant to work in. And actually, you can teach these academic skills in practical ways that if people are thinking, like, I learn visually, and so if you can show people that and kind of get it across in a different way, I think it's really important.
I think, well, we know, don't we, like, my husband's a great advocate for this, and he says that kids, you know, that learn whilst doing physical activity learn a lot quicker. So, like, outside maths with, you know, and it's the same, isn't it? Like, yeah, if you did maths that related to woodwork, I'm sure people would, I would have picked up a lot more. Or even just relating it to, like, survey world. Like, there's no reason why kids couldn't have learned how surveying ties into maths. I'm still learning, by the way. But yeah, it is super interesting. I think you're doing an absolute wonderful thing. I think it's unique and it's a passion, and I think we need more people like you that delve into those passions and see where it takes them. I love the fact that you're using sustainable materials as well. Like, is that obviously keys into everything.
Everything we do is, like, sustainable. Kind of, it has to kind of fit that criteria of, like, is it sustainable? If it's not, then it's not going to work.
Not going to work. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like that. And from someone that spent years on a landfill, I think we chuck too much stuff away, and it's heartbreaking. Like, seeing full sofas that have literally got, like, a small tear in the back being dumped in a landfill because the shop can't get rid of them. And I'm hoping we've come along, that I'm talking, you know, 15 years ago. I'm hoping we've come much further than that in terms of recycling. But yeah, the companies like what you're doing and taking materials and reusing them is only for the better, isn't it?
Hopefully, yeah. I think kind of that's disposable culture. So I did, my dissertation was all on, like, the disposable culture and, like, actual social behaviours and how can we change that. But the kids that we're talking to and doing our creative workshops with, they're on it.
Right.
You can see kind of the change, the shift in their kind of culture. They are all over it. And I think then kind of, like, hopefully that will flow down through more generations.
We can influence it.
We can be greener.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with me. I have one last question before we do, like, a little bonus bit with you. But what would you say as kind of words of encouragement to someone that's kind of out there that's like, oh, you know what, I'd love to just have a go making stuff. And they're not obviously nearly, so they can't come to you, but if you are, you must come to me. What would you say to them? What kind of be, like, some good steps to start off with?
I think I was actually talking to somebody about this yesterday, actually. So I think if you want to make something, if it's out of wood, for example, and what you can do, either you can go and kind of set yourself up, you can go buy some tools, some basic tools from Screwfix, B&Q, wherever you get your tools, and have a go. So if you want to kind of make something, buy a chop saw, buy a power drill, and buy some drill bits, buy some screws, and just either go to your local wood merchant and buy some wood, or get some pallet wood for free, and just have a go. Like, Pinterest is brilliant, YouTube is there as well, there's so much on TikTok and Instagram, and just find something that you want to make for your home, your living space, or your office if you need something, and just ignite that little passion, and then just have a go, and forget about whether it's going to look shit. Actually enjoy the process and the learning journey that you're going to go on, and build up that kind of confidence gradually to then be able to kind of, with no problem, go into your shed or wherever you're going to be doing your DIY and just be like, right, I'm doing this, I'm on it. Yeah, like the journey and the power that you'll kind of gain is amazing. So you're just going to do it. Just give it a go. Start small.
All right. You've inspired me. So I think I'm going to do, we're doing these like Shoe Dares mini challenges. Ooh. And so in the future, there's going to be the mini challenge of, I want this kind of, like, I've got a pizza oven and I want to build like a kind of mini kitchen in my garden for it. So I feel like that's, yeah, as well as my giant pegboard, which will be for this office, which hopefully will be a little project for everyone to see. So I want to give you a little present. You've got a hoodie coming, but I'm just waiting for stock. But there's a little t-shirt there. So
oh my God, I love stuff. Thanks.
Well, oh, amazing.
You definitely embody everything that, you know, She Dares Win stand for. And yeah, I wish more people would be hands-on. And I think you're going to inspire them.
Hopefully, yeah. And if anybody has any questions, just drop me a line on Instagram.
Yeah, we'll put all your socials on there.
Look at this. Oh, cool. I love
it. She came, she saw, she conquered. You definitely have.
Oh, I love it. So I'm going to wear it today.
Amazing.
Whilst I'm doing my stuff in my workshop.
Well, amazing.
I love it. Thank you.
Awesome.